In this episode, I'd like to go back over the subject of dimensions. In the episode I did previously, is a very brief guide to understanding how dimensions can be understood as running parallel with each other, as layered on top of each other in a way. That the square is the two-dimensional shadow of the three-dimensional cube, and the cube is the three-dimensional shadow with a four-dimensional tesseract. The same way a circle is the shadow of a sphere, and the sphere is the shadow of a sphere within a sphere. So we can understand that there are layers to our existence, the same way there are layers to the human aura. The physical body is the shadow of the etheric double, a layer that surrounds the human body, as Rupert Sheldrake would call it, a biomorphic field of energy. That itself is contained within a mental field of energy and a spiritual field of energy, respectively. Layers like an onion, surrounding the human body and possibly going on into infinity. But I also wanted to talk about dimensions in a different perspective. We hear a lot in the spiritual community about ascension, ascending to 5D, 6D, and so on and so forth. But I believe, personally, from a lot of experience and spiritual practice, that we already exist in all these different dimensions. But our minds can be drawn down to a purely three and four dimensional aspect. Three dimensions of space is forward and back, side to side, up and down. Gives us our three dimensions of space. Space and time cannot be separated. To get from any point to another one will take up a certain amount of time, whether that be a split second, a few seconds, a few minutes, or even a few days. Time is needed to navigate space and space to navigate time. They cannot be separated, for they are one and the same. Scientists, physicists, mathematicians, they all use the terminology of space-time, because space and time are intrinsically linked with each other. So if space and time are four dimensions, then we can understand that we're talking about the present moment, and only the present moment when we talk about four dimensions. The moment we start considering the past or the future, we are now looking at the present moment from a higher perspective, the present moment of the past and the present moment of the future. To do this, you have to operate at a slightly higher level. And human beings aren't the only ones to do this, because we know that animals hibernate in winter and they instinctively begin to gather materials and food. Whether they are doing this consciously, knowing that the cold weather is coming, and from their experience, they know they need to hibernate. They know they need to gather food for the winter. But whether they are doing it as consciously as we do, we're not sure. But we can be fairly certain that they don't think quite like us, because there is something different about us human beings. We definitely remember much from the past. And many other animals will recognize old family members, old handlers. They have that memory. They recognize the past. And we can be quite sure that they contemplate their future in some ways, especially certain animals. But generally, there is something slightly different about the human being. The way we plan for the future and hold on to memories from the past seems to be quite unique to us. And I'd say that if we're able to recognize this and operate thinking in the past, thinking and planning for the future, we're working in the fifth dimension. Because to be at a higher perspective to the present moment, such as thinking about the past or the future, we must be operating at that higher level. Now, for you to be able to recognize this, to observe yourself working in this fifth dimension, it stands to reason and common sense that you are now working from a higher perspective than five dimensions. you're working in the sixth dimension. Now, to try and explain the sixth dimension, looking at the present moment and then looking at it in the past and in the future, we're able to observe ourselves doing this. For you to observe yourself from a higher perspective means you are working at a higher level. I'm trying to think of many different examples, and I'm sure there are many, but I'd like to focus on someone who is doing your accounts. An accountant, for instance, is working in the past by collating the year's earnings. And they're working in the future by forecasting the next year's earnings. And also by filing a tax return, you're going to estimate a rebate. And that rebate will be based on the earnings from the previous year. An accountant filling out a tax return can do it very simply and just fill it out honestly and correctly. But to use their knowledge and experience that they've gained of the Inland Revenue Service, they'll be able to maximise the potential for their client, whether that client is the Inland Revenue Service or a self-employed builder, for instance. They're going to try and maximise the amount of tax collected by the Inland Revenue or minimise the amount of tax collected by the Inland Revenue on behalf of their client. All legally and above board, but by using their knowledge and experience of the Inland Revenue Service, they'll know what they can claim, what they can't, and how to organise the business to make it more profitable. They're working at a higher level than just simply filling out the past and the future tax return. They're working in the sixth dimension. They're using their knowledge, their knowing. And if the sixth sense is anything, it's a sense of knowing, using knowledge and experience as well as intuition. Now, we've just observed how human beings can operate in the sixth dimension. To do this, following common sense, you must be operating at a higher level. So therefore, human beings are already operating in the seventh dimension. And the seventh dimension, from the point of view of an accountant, is to work at a higher level than just understanding the Inland Revenue Service. So I'm going to suggest that when an accountant or anyone considers the altruistic meaning behind taxation, how it is used to help those who have not by asking those who have to pay a little bit of what they do have. Not everyone is equally able to earn the same amount of money as each other. Some are just more industrious. They're entrepreneurs. They know how to make vast amounts of money and accumulate wealth. And there are some who find that very difficult, who for whatever reason are unable to do this. And because human beings are basically quite caring and loving, having been nurtured in their own families, they learn that to help others is to help everyone, that we all benefit when the weakest and the lowest of us is raised up or given the opportunity to raise themselves up. We've learned this over time. Now, taxation can be taken by devious means. It can be corrupted. But when it's working the way it was intended, to help those who cannot help themselves, and to make society more fair, then you understand that taxation is actually a good thing. Many of us feel that it's been forced upon us. But a lot of people probably wouldn't help those less fortunate than them without being expected to. Or compelled to. We used to live in very different communities. The one we have today is probably not the most altruistic, but we do have tax and we do have good causes, National Health Service, municipalities where they are maintained using these monies. Without them, there probably wouldn't be refuse collections, emergency departments, hospices and care homes. A lot of these places rely on funding through tax. Many farms require subsidisation, and that is paid for by tax, business rates and revenue. Overall, the altruistic nature of taxation can only be understood when you've looked at it from a higher perspective. So, the human being must be operating at the seventh dimension at the very least. And the seventh dimension appears to be an altruistic one, where we find meaning behind things. For us to be able to observe this, common sense shows that we must be operating at an even higher level. So therefore we must be at least eight-dimensional beings. And if I'm honest, beyond this, it's hard to comprehend. Now you can apply this example of the accountant to many different sectors. Agriculture, for instance. In agriculture, we're looking at the past because we're bringing in the harvest and we're seeing how much of our crop we've got. We know if it's been a good year or not. And based on our knowledge and experience of the past, we're going to try and predict the future. We're going to plant according to the seasons. We know when some plants are going to need to be sowed, and we're expecting to harvest them at a certain month after so many months' growth. But it depends on the amount of rain, depends on the conditions, and it depends on the amount of work we're able to put in. So we're looking at the past and planning for the future. But we're also operating at a higher level by considering what we plant, when we plant, and how we plant. What sort of irrigation is going to be needed for different crops? We're applying knowledge and experience. We use in the sixth dimension. And now as a farmer, you're also going to consider the altruistic meaning. You're not just feeding yourself and your family, you're making a surplus to help feed the wider community and trade with other people. When you consider the altruistic meaning of agriculture, you're operating at the seventh dimension. This also works in construction. We're building houses, hospitals, community centres, business parks. And to build, you have to consider the past and the future. You have to look at what's available, what buildings you might have to remove to build what you want to build for the future, to clear the land. You have to take into consideration many different aspects. And now the actual operation of building, you're going to apply your knowledge and experience to make sure you do it efficiently and correctly. And you're also going to look at the altruistic meaning behind it. You may be building social housing. You've got to think about the people that are going to be living in there and build accordingly, furnish it accordingly. You're going to operate at many different aspects working in construction and cover many different perspectives and viewpoints, different dimensions. So you can look at your own life and try to apply this thinking to how you work, to your job, to your capacity within your family. At the fifth dimension, we're working a little bit higher than just the present moment. We're looking at the past and thinking of the future. The sixth dimension is more about applying knowledge and experience. It's a sense of knowing, like the sixth sense. And now the seventh dimension is where we look for meaning and altruism. We're considering the bigger picture. We're looking from a higher perspective. And to do any of these things, as I said before, you must be observing yourself doing this from a higher perspective than that. So I'd like you to just think about extending to the eighth dimension. What does that mean to you? Why is it there's a point where once we've searched for the meaning in the seventh dimension, why we can't quite comprehend the eighth dimension in the same way? As we develop and grow as human beings, we're going to begin to open up an understanding from a higher perspective than we are at now. And it's quite possible, if we look in our past, that the human being has evolved to open up these higher dimensions to our understanding. Many, many thousands of years ago, it's quite possible that we weren't able to access these higher dimensions, that we needed a little bit more guidance. And this is where shamanism and religion evolved from, to make sure that the collective was operating at these higher levels, where the individual may have been lost in the lower aspects, 3 and 4 dimensions, maybe 5 dimensions, but not really applying knowledge and experience in the same way, and certainly not looking at the altruistic meaning behind it, because our lives were probably centered around survival more than thriving. It seems that only when communities have the time to sit around and debate and talk about these things do we open up to a higher perspective, to a bigger picture. If we're just focused on survival, on feeding ourselves and having shelter, and we're spending our whole day working and toiling, it's hard to sit around, think and discuss. So sometime in the last few thousand years, we had the Greco-Roman period. And it seems there was a time, especially in ancient Greece, where civilization had evolved to the point where not everyone had to work. There was enough abundance that some people could sit around, study, debate, and come up with new ideas, form fundamental principles that can be applied to higher knowledge and a higher perspective. The Greco-Roman period, especially centered around the ancient Greek culture, gave us many great philosophers who discovered not only the sciences of music and number, geometry and astronomy, but the arts of critical thinking, grammar, logic and rhetoric, dialectics, how we reason and understand our world from a higher perspective. They did this because we'd taken care of many of the things that we need for survival. There was abundance of food. We made built houses, made clothing. And we managed to get together on a daily basis and discuss these ideas, work through them and come to certain conclusions, dismiss fallacies and arrive at some sort of system of truth. Today we have the liberal arts of ancient Greece, because the ancient Greeks had spent many, many hundreds of years working in this way. Their period of culture has left a great mark on us, and we still quote these philosophers today because it was they who did this great amount of thinking. Pythagoras was the one who gave us the science of music, Pythagoras' theorem, so we were able to build houses with right angles, bringing out a revolution in building and civilization, city planning and street building. And as we moved along through the Greco-Roman period, we evolved this system, which is still in use today. The trivium and quadrivium are the fundamental basis of the 7 liberal arts of ancient Greece. In these systems, we're looking at different perspectives and dimensions which come together to create a bigger picture. And they happen to be 7 in all. The quadrivium is number. Number in space is geometry. Number in time is music. And number in space and time is astronomy. And although Pythagoras may have been an individual figure, it appears that there was a school dedicated to the figure of Pythagoras. And for many years, if not hundreds of years, this Pythagorean school formulated many different sciences. It may be possible that one individual was so uniquely capable that they were able to formulate all these different sciences. But there are so many, and they are so well thought out and well practiced, that it's quite possible that it took a few generations of many thinkers to develop them under the name of Pythagoras. But when it comes to the sciences of critical thinking, grammar, logic, and rhetoric, these were developed over many years by many different philosophers: Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, and many others have all played a part in the development of these arts and sciences. So I use critical thinking to try and understand different perspectives and dimensions, to understand how dimensions work. So using the analogy of the accountant, the construction worker, or the farmer, I can give examples of how we operate in these different dimensions. But one of the reasons we can operate in these different dimensions is because we use our internal vision, our internal senses. Plato is attributed to discovering the Platonic solids. These are fundamental and idealistic shapes that conform to certain rules and perspectives. And each shape is related to an element. The cube is related to the element of earth. The icosahedron is related to water. The octahedron is related to air. And the tetrahedron is related to fire. Now the dodecahedron is related to spirit. Now looking at the cube, if we look at many solid elements, carbon, graphite for instance, these atoms arrange themselves in particular orders, which are more in tune with the cube. The icosahedron shows us the complex nature of water molecules. A snowflake, for instance, and its very majestic beauty, very complex structures, they're related to the complexities of the icosahedron, which has many more angles and sides and faces than the others. It's far more complex. If we look at the octahedron, it appears to be a pyramid facing up and a pyramid facing down, connected in the middle. Much like air, gases can rise up and they can also sink and condense. Looking at the tetrahedron, it appears to be a four-sided pyramid facing up, a bit like a flame. It does represent fire and heat. If we look at some of the elements more closely, they're not exactly the same as these solids, but they are related. There is a connection. They do describe them. Now, how could Plato have known what these shapes looked like and how they relate to their elements without the use of a microscope to look at these solids, liquids, and gases and see the relationship? My argument is that he didn't need a microscope because meditation was the microscope of the soul. Through meditation and through your inner vision, your inner senses, you can operate in all these different dimensions quite naturally. The reason being is because we are multidimensional beings. We already operate at many higher levels, but life and surviving this thing called life can make us think at a much denser perspective of four or maybe just five dimensions. We need to work on ourselves and raise ourselves up, but we do this through knowledge and experience, understanding. From gathering this knowledge and experience, we can then look at it from a higher perspective. You are observing yourself, but something is observing you. And you can link into that. You can connect with the observer of the observer. This gives us an idea that we really are spirit. We are really a part of the God force, observing ourselves. There have been many times in my life where I've made mistakes. And everyone makes mistakes. It's quite forgivable. But when you make a mistake, knowing you're making a mistake, observing yourself and actually thinking, what am I doing? You're telling yourself that you shouldn't be doing this thing you're doing, yet you're doing it all the same. You seem to be observing yourself, yet unable to stop yourself. Sometimes this can show that the spirit, the soul, and the body are sometimes disconnected or dissociated. You're operating at these different dimensions, but there is some sort of break in the connection. And it's only through spiritual work, spiritual growth, that you are able to unite the mind, the soul, and the spirit with the body, and to be able to take some sort of control and command over it. To do this, you must look at yourself from a higher perspective, that you are not just your body, your mind, or your soul. You are spirit. You are part of that God force. And you are only observing yourself. For you to operate in this world, you have to be able to think in 4, 5, and 6 dimensions. But to understand it, you need to operate at that higher level, the altruistic and spiritual 7th dimension. I hope this has made some sense to you. I'd like you to just take what I've said, allow it to sort of settle in your mind, find examples in your own life and try to apply them to what I've just said and the way I've said it. Try look at the past, think of the future, and try to understand it from a higher perspective. Try to think about how you can apply your knowledge and experience to plan for the future. By looking at the past and seeing little patterns, observe little features, realize that time is not just a straight line, nor is it a circle. It's a spiral. So you'll come over the same thing again and again and again, but each time you're going to look at it from that slightly different perspective, from a slightly higher perspective. Having taken that knowledge and experience and applying it, you start seeing the bigger picture. The bigger picture should show meaning. This is the 7th dimension. Now consider as well that you aren't just a physical being, you're a spiritual being. You operate at these different dimensions. Nobody can give you an ascension. No one can take you from point A to point B. You will naturally grow as you think. As you gain this experience and this knowledge and begin to apply it to your life and to look at it from a higher perspective, you will naturally unfold and show yourself to be the multidimensional being that you already are. Nobody can do this, not for a fee, not through any weekend retreat, but through little daily experiences and changes. But without that meditation, without taking time to observe yourself, you may never realize your full potential in this life. And if you've come here to do anything, it's to realize your potential through knowledge and experience, through the trials and tribulations that come with life, and through raising your consciousness up to a slightly higher level every single day, reflecting on what's been, understanding those cycles and patterns, and knowing that the future is going to be a reflection of the past, but also a reflection of your mind. So we must keep our minds active and keep our minds at a higher level, always observing yourself from that higher perspective, from that dimension.